everyone. This is Sherry with Simply Celebrate, and I am so excited today to introduce you to someone who I met a couple months ago, and I have just been loving what she is up to. And I wanted to just do a very quick interview so that you could easily listen to this and fall in love with her too. So who I have on the line is Mary Schiller. She's an author and a coach who has a mission to help people lead less stressful, more successful lives. With 9 books to her name on Amazon and more on the way, Mary is determined to reach as many people as possible with a message of hope that life could be lived without struggle, no matter what our circumstances might be. And so probably just from that intro, you can see why I love what she's doing. And hey, Mary, are you here? Are you on the line?
I am here, Sherry.
Yay! Thank you. I'm so glad. And, you know, Mary, I'm so grateful for your time being here today. And I wanted to start us off with, I know that you have a personal story that really played a role in this message of hope that you're offering to other people. Can you start us off with that so we get to know you a little bit through that?
Sure. Just really briefly, I was somebody who basically suffered from symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder my entire adult life. I got married to my first husband when I was 22, and unfortunately, it turned out to be a very abusive marriage. Pretty much everything you can think of happened during the 7 years that I was married to him, and I eventually was able to leave the marriage with my life intact, and at the time I had a 2-year-old daughter as well. Mm. And unfortunately, the abuse continued even after I left the marriage. So abuse of my daughter, abuse of me through the court system, and all kinds of other things. And so basically I was kind of enmeshed with him from 1983 until 2001, when I finally got a judge to listen to my side of the story, and he made it possible for my daughter, who was about 12 at that time, or 13, to not see him anymore. So it was a lot of years of really dealing with somebody who had a lot of problems and caused a lot of problems for us and for other people, even in my family. So that's kind of what my life was all about for all those years. And then after that, of course, I was still kind of suffering the effects of all of that. And I sought out help from all kinds of people, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors. I did get remarried at one point in 1997, and I'm still married to him. We just celebrated 20 years, so that's cool.
Aww,
but
yeah.
but that marriage suffered too, because I was still dealing with all of these effects of trauma. And in 2013, 2014, I'd kind of hit a point where I was really frustrated. I had gone through some really intensive therapy with a real specialized person, and I'd come out of that feeling pretty good, but after about a year, I started to kind of slide downhill again into lots of anxiety, no depression or anything, but lots and lots of anxiety and just constant stress, couldn't relax, was nervous around people, and really just not having a very nice life. And I
wow.
pretty much saw my whole, really, this is not an exaggeration, I saw my life as kind of a failure, and almost a sick joke. I mean, that's really how I saw myself. Like,
wow.
I had made this
wow.
mistake when I was 22. I married the wrong person, and that had just completely wiped out anything and everything that I was supposed to do with my life. I couldn't figure out what to do. So in 2014, I was at an interesting place with all of that, where I was like, you know, is this really the best there is? You know, I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything and can't figure out what to do. And just by happenstance, I ran across a video of somebody who was talking about something that I hadn't heard of before. And people listening to this might be interested to know what it's called. It's called the Three Principles. And I had no idea what these three principles were about. I had no clue. And I decided to read the book that was being talked about by this person that I found online. And I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but what actually occurred was I read this book several times, actually listened to the audio version, and I heard something completely and utterly new in what this person was saying. That when I say that this changed my life entirely, I can't even begin to explain how different my life was just within a few weeks even of reading that book. I saw myself in a completely different way. I saw my first husband in a completely different way. And I made a very quick decision that I was going to talk about this with anyone who would listen to me. I just said, okay, this is going to be my life from now on. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I have to share this with other people because this completely transformed my life. So that's kind of the short version of how I was before and where I am now.
Mary, I've heard, of course, this story before, but once again, I mean, hearing it is so powerful. And I think, you know, a couple things that jump out at me, you know, one is, you know, it just really gets me in the gut when I hear you say, you know, I saw my life as a failure. And I've, you know, people who've been following me know that that's also a place where I have been quite, quite deeply. And I know that a lot of people listening probably may also have places in their lives. It may not be their entire life, but places where it's like, such a failure at, you know, relationships. I'm such a failure at money. But it may also be that sort of overall. And the fact that, you know, the fact that you turn that around for yourself, and in such a short amount of time, is so striking. And the second thing is that it's like the way that you just made that choice to, you know, you're like, I'm here in a new place, and I want to serve others with what I know. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So beautiful.
That was really, really important to me because I knew that, you know, there were a lot of people out there who were suffering the way that I was, not necessarily from post-traumatic stress disorder, but like you said, a lot of people who feel like, you know, certain parts of their life haven't gone well and, you know, they really want to make a change. And I had never seen anything that I felt so immediately connected to. It's hard to explain this, but the two major things that I saw for myself were that there wasn't ever anything wrong with me. That, you know, I had been diagnosed with this mental illness, but that really wasn't true. That all I was really doing all those years was listening to some kind of weird thinking that I had going on that was telling me that, that life was scary and dangerous and, you know, all of these kind of stories going through my head. And I realized that I had the option to not listen to those anymore because none of them were true and that nothing was ever really wrong with me, that nothing that had occurred in that first marriage had had any effect on the real me because the real me can't really be touched by anything, can't be harmed by anything. It's, you know, it's just not possible for that to happen because we are innately whole and healthy human beings, no matter what our circumstances might suggest. And, you know, seeing those two things and realizing that I wasn't actually broken like I thought I was, that just changed everything for me. And it's hard to overstate what that meant for me. It's made me see myself not just in the present differently, but in the past differently. Like I can look back on my life now and go, okay, well, there were plenty of times when I was, you know, acting from that place of natural health, And I can see plenty of examples of that. Like, you know, I was actually a pretty good mom, and I have had a decent career at times. I've done things that are pretty interesting. And so instead of seeing everything in the past even as a failure, I was able to look back and see my natural self, my healthy self, in lots and lots of areas of my life.
Ah, I love that so much. I love that. My own spiritual teacher, Sherry Huber, has a book called There's Nothing Wrong With You. And so everything in our practice is, you know, from that place, which is, you know, a very similar, you know, alignment to what you're talking about. And I've had a similar experience where I almost feel like everything from my past, I saw that I was framing it, you know, as a particular story, and that it could just as easily be framed differently, you know,
mm-hmm.
that just
mm-hmm.
like you're saying, it's just there's these voices. And gosh, I feel like that, I don't even know where to go. There's so many places. I'm so excited at the moment, but, but it, I guess in the spirit of like making this, you know, cause I really want to make sure that we keep this audio so that people can really hear it. Cause I feel like it's so important for people to actually get to hear your voice and get to know you. And I want to make it doable. So maybe where I'm going to jump to is, you have a phrase that's very related to what you were just talking about that you use that is one of the things I instantly loved about you. And that phrase is, you have permission to wake up to a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're saying is you're in your own personal story. You allowed yourself, you gave yourself permission. And actually, you know, in some ways it's like it's wake up to a new life, but it's like really wake up to who we really are. You know, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
In the spirit of sort of like, you know, offering something in the moment that people might be able to really take away, do you have a best tip or just the first tip maybe that comes to your mind for someone who might be listening to this, who yearns to wake up to themselves in a new way, who wants to wake up in a new future? But maybe it's kind of like, where do I begin? Where do I start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And I think what I would say is this, that one of the fundamental things that I saw that really, really shifted the way I experienced life was realizing that my circumstances had nothing to do with how I was experiencing life itself. In other words, a person can't ever experience their circumstances. We're only ever experiencing our own thinking. And so that is so major because we tend to look at our life circumstances and assume that we feel the way we do because of something going on externally. And what I realized was that that is completely false. And instead, we're actually only ever experiencing our momentary thinking. And so to explain just briefly how significant that is, I'll use myself as an example. I could see that I wasn't actually experiencing my circumstances of being in an abusive marriage. I was experiencing all of those thoughts that I was having because in actuality, I hadn't had any contact with him for, you know, 14, 15 years or so, and yet I was still having these experiences. So it was like, okay, well, he can't be causing that, and that situation can't be causing that because I'm just sitting here, you know, on the subway or whatever, having this experience. So all of a sudden, it was like, I'm doing this to myself, which means I can stop doing it to myself. So anytime I had an experience that I didn't like if I felt stressed or whatever, I would be like, oh, right, that's coming from my own thinking. So I'll just kind of sit here and wait for some new thoughts to come in. And once they do, I won't feel like this anymore. So I wasn't afraid of any of those stressful times anymore because I saw exactly where they were coming from. They were coming from in my own head. And that was completely freeing. I mean, really, it was like, wow, okay, So that means that, you know, every person is having their own set of thinking that's creating some kind of experience for them. So now what else is there to life? You know, now that I see what my thoughts are doing, what else is there? So I started to kind of look to what else there was. If I wasn't my thoughts and I wasn't all of that kind of gobbledygook in my head, what else was I? And that's kind of brought me to where I am today, which is looking past all of my thoughts and seeing who we actually are underneath all of that storytelling.
Wow. So it sounds to me like a great place for anyone to begin. That question, what else is there? What else is there to life? What else? That is so great. And, you know, Mary, I have to laugh because what dropped in my head when you were saying that, you know this, that I was in the emergency room a couple days ago with a kidney stone and incredibly, incredibly painful. People say it's worse than childbirth, and having been through both, I might agree. Well, I had a dear friend of mine, two dear friends actually were with me, and one of them was on my phone to call some of my family to let them know what's going on. And in a tweet popped up, my Zen teacher sends out these tweets, and the tweet said, "It's never too late to have a happy day." Mm. And my friend read it and she started cracking up, right? Because there I was screaming and swearing on the bed. And the thing is, though, that tweet came in and I was like almost like electrified, like, oh! And I suddenly saw where I had been in a moment of just like, I hate this, what's going on? Why, you know, I was in the middle of a writing workshop when it happened and I was missing, there's all kinds of things that I was like unhappy about, you know, mm-hmm. without the,
mm-hmm.
But when that tweet came in, I suddenly saw my two friends and I felt all their love and their care and my family was going to come. And it was suddenly like I was happy. And I saw it happen. Like, and it's kind of, I guess it dropped in because of what you said, you know, when it's not our circumstances. And even something like that, like lying in the hospital room, I could see and I could feel and I could let in that whole other possibility, which was, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by love and I've got these caring doctors around and I'm, you know, I'm in a place of care and love. And it's
that's right.
Which, yeah, so it's interesting that just popped in.
Well, you just illustrated kind of the basic point of what I was saying. So thank you for that, which is that you're, you know, we have kind of a phrase in the circle that I travel in that you're just one thought away from an entirely new experience of life.
Oh.
And that's what you described. You had a new thought come in right then, and your whole experience of that situation changed. And when I say that people can wake up to a new life, that's what I'm saying, is they're one thought away. If they can just wait out sort of the uncomfortable feeling, a new thought will come in. Because we are designed to work this way as human beings. We're designed to have new thoughts all the time. And because we are so whole and healthy at our core, the natural default is to go to something that's helpful, like what you just described, when we can kind of just let those other ones go on by.
Oh, Mary, that was so beautifully said. And so perfect, and I know we need to wrap up, but what a perfect way for us to wrap up this call, because I feel like what you just said is like, it's something like, to me, it feels like a touchstone. So it's like, what I hear you saying, so it's like, there's all these thoughts, that's what our brains do, our minds just think, but that authentically who we are is healthy and supportive and life-affirming. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that if we, like you just said, if we can just let those fearful, negative thoughts, you know, they're going to come. But what I heard you say is just we're one thought away. We're one thought away,
that's
and we can
right.
ask ourselves, like you said earlier, you know, what else is there? What is that next thought that might be the one mm-hmm. that, you know, awakens me to a new way of seeing and being and living?
That's right. And we can look toward, we can almost look past our kind of little personal thinking towards our true selves. We have that ability to ignore kind of that personal buzzy thinking like you were just describing and look at what we actually are. And that's where we will begin to experience, I think, more of what we're here for.
Oh, Mary, this is so beautiful. I actually can feel it. You know, I can feel it in my body, you know, what you're saying. Yes, and I just, and it's like I'm returning back. I'm just going to circle back before we close. But like when I introduced you, you know, that it's your message of hope. And this message of hope is attached to exactly what you just said, that it's like, this is who we really are. And we don't have to go anywhere, you know. We don't have to go anywhere to change who we are. It's just that it seems like, you know, that matter of, like, knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yes.
Wow. I could talk to you for hours about this. And
I know. Same here.
I'm hoping that we'll have a chance, you know, we'll have a chance to talk again. But I think this was just such a beautiful way to introduce who you are and how you've awakened, you know, how you've given yourself permission to wake up into a new life. And to me, it's obvious from your spirit and your energy and everything that I've seen you, you just sort of, you live what you're teaching. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. That's really kind of you to say. I really appreciate it.
Yes. So thank you so much for taking this time. And I know we'll talk again.
Thanks, Sherry. It was a pleasure.
All right. Bye, Mary.